to Isaiah chapter 40. Any of you who would like a psalm book, if you hold up your hands, the ushers will see that you have a Bible. The ushers will see that you get one. Isaiah 40. Beginning in verse 9, Isaiah 40. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Now turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now turn with me together to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Jesus is in the act of speaking. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. As my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We're not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, I am God's Son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may learn and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. The words I'm particularly interested in your focusing on this morning are the words of 14 and 15, verses 14 and 15, where he says there, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And those words are especially significant today because of when Jesus said them. In verse 22, God tells us, it was during the feast of the dedication. That came on December 25. We call it Christmas. The Jews call it Hanukkah. Dedication. So for hundreds of years, God's people had dedicated or rededicated or consecrated or reconsecrated people. Moses, it says, as he came down from Mount Sinai, dedicated the people, the whole nation, all the souls and things. For example, the temple, their homes, their families, they sanctified and set apart to God on that December 25th day, the day of dedication, themselves as individuals and their responsibilities, their families, their properties, all that they had. That was a particular reason. I hope you're paying attention as we go through John here to the way in which Jesus seized upon the particular feasts and dedications to explain to the people how these feasts were related to his life purpose and reason for being here on earth. Because he seized every one of those opportunities, and that's what he's doing today, here in this one, the Feast of Dedication, when he says, now I am the good shepherd. I laid down my life for my sheep. Jesus the Christ is in the temple, not long now before his crucifixion, and he says, I am the good shepherd. You know, my sheep will know me. They'll recognize me. You can tell whether you are or not. My sheep will recognize me. I know them and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know him, so my sheep will be the ones who recognize me. And those who don't recognize me will not be my sheep. At least four times through that passage, he uses the words, I lay down my life for my sheep. That's his dedication, his reconsecration. He committed himself to that at the time that he was baptized there, and the Holy Spirit, the words were spoken from heaven, and it says the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. I don't think it looked like a dove. I think it was the way in which the manifestation of the Holy Spirit came. A dove swoops, and it's there. Some birds taxi in for a landing, but a bird and certain others just, and they're there. And a dove is one of those that is just there. You look up 1 minute, it's not there. Half a dozen times last week, I looked up, there wasn't a thing there. Next thing I looked up, there was a deer. How you got, I don't know. But it's that kind, it wasn't there before, but now at the time of Jesus' baptism, all of a sudden, he's right there. And the manifestation was clear. Jesus had committed his life. And over again, as you read carefully these biographies, you'll find he recommitted his life. But now, here in the temple, on the day of dedication, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. He's dedicating himself to the death for his sheep. I'm suggesting this morning, by way of an application, I always ought to save the application at the end of the sermon, but I can't do it. It's too good to hold. I'm suggesting it because I want you also to think about it. December 25 comes on a Sabbath, on the Lord's Day this year. And the session has decided that we will not have any church service that evening. That is to be a family evening. Did you go home and spend that evening with your family? And any of you, incidentally, who don't have family here, we want to know about it, because we're going to fit you to a family, fit a family to you. Other sheep I have, which are not this fold, Jesus said, we want to fit you to a family. Let us know about that. But I want you to begin thinking right now about that dedication and that recommitment of your life, of your family, of your possessions, of everything that you have. That's what Jesus was doing on this particular day. Why don't every one of you who's the shepherd and every one of you who's a sheep do what Jesus did and make it a day of dedication? I am going to be, Lord, the good shepherd. I will lay down my life for my sheep. I will know them. I'll see to it that they know me just as the Father knows me and I know him. And I'm telling you, Father, that I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep. I hereby commit myself to that end. Fathers and mothers for their families, brothers and sisters for each other. But what all did Jesus mean by that? Let's think through the chapter together and see what all is involved in making that kind of commitment. These words really do summarize the whole chapter. In the chapters leading up to chapter 10, and I've reviewed this before, but it just can't be overemphasized. Jesus has been explaining and demonstrating by his miracles, as well as by his words, what all it means for him to be the good shepherd. He said, I am the bread of life. Just as I provided bread and meat for my people in the wilderness all through those years and years, a whole generation of wandering, I'm the one who provided that. So now I provide bread and fish for these 4,000 people here, so that you won't miss the point that I'm the one who is doing that provision for a whole generation of people. I'm doing the same kind of providing for you now, bread and fish, meat. It was bread and fowl land, here it's bread and fish. But I'm the same God. I am the God. You Christians don't have two gods, you have one God. As the one who cared for you there, I'm caring for you here. I shepherded you there, I shepherd you here. I provide food. And I am the water of life, just as I provided water for my people, a whole nation of people, a million people in the middle of a wilderness, desert. I provided water for you, didn't I? I provided water for the woman at the well. I told her about the water that I would provide, spiritual water. And I promised you the day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the final great day. I am the water of life. I said that to you. I proved that to you. I'm the living water. And furthermore, I am the light of life. And just as I provided that pillar of fire and pillar of cloud for my people through the wilderness, years and years of wandering, and took them into the promised land, so I provided light for this man that was born blind. Do you get the point? I am the shepherd who provides. These are things that a shepherd does. He provides food for his sheep. He provides water for his sheep. He provides guidance. He leads them. He lights their way. Now, Jesus says, now, all the miracles that I've been doing should prove to you that I am God. Won't you believe me? Even if you don't hear my words, won't you believe me on the basis of the works that I've done? I am the Good Shepherd. And here in chapter 10, Jesus teaches us four more things about what it means for him to be our Good Shepherd, and for us then to do the same kinds of things with other people, those for whom we are responsible, as he has done for us. In verses 14 and 15, first he says, I know my sheep. My sheep know me. It's a case of knowing. In verse 16, I have other sheep, and I must bring them also. He says, I know my sheep, and I laid down my life for them. But now he says, I must bring these other sheep also. That's a kind of thing that only a good shepherd would do. He finds the other sheep. And then, 30 says, I call my sheep. And when I call, they'll listen. If they're my sheep, they'll listen. They'll hear me. They'll hear what I'm saying. They'll understand that. And they'll respond. And then fourth, in verse 28, I care for my sheep. I give them eternal life. I want you to know they'll never perish. They will never perish. We want to talk about this four for just a little bit, because that's what's involved in making the kind of dedication that we're asking you to consider very seriously, because Jesus did it on the upcoming Christmas. First, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That's both a statement of fact and it's a challenge to responsibility. You parents know your children. If you don't, you should, and you're getting to know them, and Charles and Margaret are getting to know that little one. You know your children by the first name. So Jesus knows the children, his whole family and flock, by their first names. He knew them in Psalm 139 by their unformed substance when they were first conceived, and then they began to grow within the womb. I always felt a little bit jealous of Margie because she got acquainted with the children before I could, in a way that I couldn't. I wasn't jealous, not really. But she knew them better than I did at that age and stage. I had to catch up later. But parents know their children. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep, knows them well, knows them by first name. As I mentioned last week, those shepherds in the Far East will name every one of them. They name them for their characteristics. We know that. The old shepherds have told us that. They name for the characteristics. That one's slowpoke. This one is droopy. Well, you could name the elves, I suppose. That one is bigger. That one is anxious. That one's always accident prone. But they named them all. They named them all. Jesus knows his sheep. That's the way he knows them, and he understands them. He can know ahead of time how they're going to respond to a given situation. He knows it. He doesn't say, hey, you. No. Each one of them has a special name by your first name. Every morning when the shepherd came to the gate of that sheepfold, his own sheep recognized his voice. And there were several flocks, three, four flocks in the one fold. And the one shepherd would come, and the man inside would open the door, and he would call his own sheep. And that one was mixed up with some of the others back there, and he'd call that one by name. Come on out. And they were thrust out. They were brought out that way. And therein lies the challenge. If we are true sheep, then we're going to recognize his voice. We're not true sheep. We'll go wandering off on our own and be content to do that. We won't even know that we're lost. We won't care what he says about us. He knows his sheep. and he calls them. And furthermore, they follow him every morning. We'll be ready to listen. Is that true of you? Every morning, as you get this book out, as you read into it a little bit, do you hear his voice? Is he your shepherd? Do you recognize what he's saying here as being yours? Over and over again last week, sometimes in the middle of a snowstorm, and sometimes it'd be rain, and sometimes, but always the sun would not be up yet until we got there. And then we'd watch the sun come up, and we were always alone for those first several hours on stand. And I could hear his word. You sort of feel like a sheep. Who could be stupid enough to be standing out there in the middle of a snowstorm? That must be like... But something happens as you hear God's word, as he speaks his word, and you recognize, you know, that's for me. That's something he wants me to do. You recognize his voice. And that's the real basis of the eternal security that he's talking about later on over here in verses 27 to 28. The fact that they follow Jesus and they keep on following Jesus. Whenever we make as an end a thing that Jesus means as a means, then we're in trouble. And some people get so focused on the study of eternal security that they forget to follow. You know what that proves? They really aren't the sheep. Those who are going to be eternally secure will be following him all the way through into heaven. That's for sure. They will be following. I want to talk about that a little bit more later. Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and no one will ever be able to take them out of my hands. Jesus says, second, in verse 16, as a good shepherd, I have other sheep. Them also I must bring. Now really what Jesus is talking about there, us Gentiles. Us. Had it not been for this, and this intense love and desire, the mustness, I must bring them. Had it not been for that, you and I wouldn't have been here. Jesus gives us two reasons, I hope you've noticed there, two reasons why the Father loves him. First, in verse 16, because I have such a compelling desire to find these other sheep and to bring them in. And then verse 17, because I lay down my life for these sheep. I don't know how much of a compelling desire you have to see other sheep brought in. It's very easy to sort of enjoy your own fellowship and your own family and to limit your time with just your family. But what about the other sheep? Is that desire there? You are like him when you find that desire there. That's one of the things Jesus says that causes the Father to love me. Those are the marks of a good Samaritan. To see others, too, who need to know Jesus Christ and are willing to lay down their lives for him. It's not easy. It never has been and never will be to say to someone else, what is your personal relationship with God? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him? You may not be that brash, but if at some point you don't get round to that with your dearest and best friends and neighbors, there's something wrong. It's an indication you're not really one of his sheep. The person that's worked for you for so many years. Can't you find a sense of responsibility for their eternal welfare? Enough to cause you to say, find a way. I don't know how. But work at it. Work at it. That mustness there. Other sheep I have, which are not in the fold yet, them also I must bring. Jesus found, wasn't easy for him. Wasn't easy for Paul. Wasn't easy for any of the others. Paul says over and over again, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, that I will be bold at times, that I will be winsome, that I will know how and when to say and what to say, but pray for me. Pray for Davila's husband to be. They're not married yet. They're coming up soon. But I said to him last night on the phone, I'd like you to hear this testimony down here on Wednesday. And he says, oh, I'm coming. He says, I have 4 men lined up to come with me. Well, that mustness is there. That mustness, that desire. Just to see other people come to know Jesus. And Jesus said, that's one of the reasons the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life for the sheep. Because I have this mustness there. So we as his under-shepherds can say today, we have the power to lay our lives down for our sheep, to commit ourselves, to rededicate ourselves to them. Husbands, that's what Jesus is saying to you when he says, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a commitment, same kind of commitment. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That's the same kind of commitment. Children, obey your parents. That's the same kind of commitment. Greater love hath no man than this, he lay down his life for his brother, his sister. That's the same kind of commitment. And we can take it back again. Jesus says, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to make that commitment. And I have power to take it again. You can take it. You can quit doing that. And if I lay down my life for others as he laid down his life for me, that becomes then a kind of thing that the Father loves. I hope you're seeing the as-so relationships here. Jesus is saying over and over again in these verses the simile that's involved. It's a Homeric simile, a simile that Homer loved to use in all of his writings. As I know the Father, and the Father knows me, so I will know you, and you can know me. As I have loved the Father, and the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, and you have loved me. Now, just as my love for you is demonstrated and made real by the fact that I must find you, and I will lay down my life for you, so your love for others is going to be demonstrated and made real to you and to them by the fact that you have that same attitude of mustness towards them that I have had towards you. And that will be your love for them demonstrated. You must find others and be willing to lay down your lives for them. And somehow or other, this kind of following Jesus into this, we follow him into this whole attitude of life, into this whole lifestyle. We follow him. That's what he meant when he said, follow me. Follow me in this. Do you follow me? That's the key to the eternal security. I've never met the person who kept on being involved in the salvation of other souls, who kept on laying his life down, or her life down, for the sheep, with a burning desire to bring other sheep. I've never met the person who began to be really worried about his own or her own salvation. It just doesn't work that way. And the keeping that he's talking about there, where he says, I give to these people that follow me that way, I give to them eternal life. I give to them eternal life. And they're never gonna perish. And my Father holds them and I hold them. That kind of knowing and that kind of loving and self-sacrificing is the real mark of the Good Shepherd. Let's think about the sacrifice for just a moment. We'll be thinking more about that at the communion service later today. Who was it who caused the Good Shepherd to give his life on the cross? Jews? Well, scribes, Pharisees, priests, the chief priests. They kept screaming, crucify him! Crucify him! So, yeah, you could say they did. Gentiles? Well, Pilate gave the order, and it was the Gentile soldiers that nailed his hands to the cross and his feet. So, yeah, the Gentiles were involved in that. The devil? The devil entered into Judas when he went out there to betray him that evening. God the Father, yeah, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Holy Spirit, Hebrews 9:14, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself on the cross. All those are responsible for Christ's sacrifice on the cross. But Christ himself said, I lay down my life on the cross. No one taketh it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. The good shepherd deliberately gave his life on the cross. And because of this, he goes on to say, therefore doth my Father love me. That's why I knew you and I loved you. That's why you can, the way you can know me and love me. And when you're knowing others and loving them in the same way I have known you and loved you, then you can know that you really are my sheep. What's a good shepherd? What's it mean to be a good shepherd? He knows his sheep and they know him, and he lays down his life for them. He's looking out for other sheep that he must bring, and he keeps on calling and talking and guiding his sheep. That's the third one. Jesus calls to his sheep, and he talks to them throughout the day. It's not just when he calls them out in the morning. That's the way Jesus guides his sheep through the wilderness decisions of life today. Today, if you will, hear my voice. Listen to me. You have a decision to make? I have a direction for you on that. You need some truth? I'll tell you what it is. That's what he's doing every morning when you sit down there for that wisdom search. That's his primary way of speaking to his people. Through the Word, through the study, the application of his Word. Sometimes it's a command, sometimes a promise, sometimes it's a principle. But the good shepherd is always talking with his sheep, directing them, encouraging them, and praising them on. And the closer you stick to him, the easier it is to hear what he has to say in any given decision. Now, fourth, the good shepherd cares for his sheep. In verses 27 and 28, Christ ties it all together. He says, my sheep listen to my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand, and my Father, who's greater than all, will hold them, and no one can snatch them out of our two hands holding them. I and my Father are one. That's called eternal security. But eternal security in Scripture is always described in the context of following Jesus. It's my understanding that every person who is born again will be in heaven, but that they will be following Jesus all the way there. So if I'm not following him, then the security part doesn't really apply. That doesn't mean I won't backslide. I won't sin. I will. But it does mean that every following sheep, having followed into confession and forgiveness and then on, every following sheep will be kept and kept forever. And God's Word emphasizes the following part more than the keeping part. God will do the keeping. We just do the following. And the point of it here is that the eternal life that he promises us here, the keeping, the holding, is all based upon his knowing of us, his seeking us, his speaking to us, his directing and guiding us, and our following him. You see, sin comes between us and him, and I wish I had another hour to work on that. Sin comes between us and our good shepherd and clouds the light and muffles his voice. But sin confessed is the very thing that brought us to him in the first place and caused us to know we have to depend on him. So repent, confess it, and follow him. And unbelief can cloud the sin. So stop being an unbeliever. Take him at his word every day. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Bad counsel can come between you and your shepherd. False shepherds, men and women who are in it for what they can get out of it, hired. Recognize them, get away from them, consign them to God. Don't try to straighten them out or get even with them. Leave that to God. Thieves and robbers will try to kidnap you from Christ and his word. Avoid them. You may be lame and you may be broken and you may be disappointed and discouraged. You may be abused as a sheep, but remember that you were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he's not going to lose anyone that he's bought. He says, I lay down my life for you. You are very precious. I know all about you, Nicodemus. I know all about you, woman at the well. I know all about you, man born blind. I love you with a perfect love. I call you by name. I talk with you daily. I've given you eternal life, and no one is ever going to be able to take you out of my hands. because of who God has made me to be. And this applies to every person that He's made to be a father, that He's made to be a brother, that He's made to be a mother, that He's made to be a sister. Jesus said, because of who the Father has made me to be, I will lay down my life for those sheep. Will you follow Him in that? I wanted to talk to you. I really wondered if I should preach this sermon today. Maybe I should wait, you see, until the morning of the 25th to preach this. I'll remind you of it then. But I decided it's so serious. We really do need to think about it ahead of time. That you would prepare for that and really mean it. And if for any reason you don't want to follow Jesus in this, then why not? Why not? And if you do, then don't fall away from it. Go ahead to make that commitment. Families, get your families ready for it ahead of time and make that commitment. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for coming down to earth to tabernacle with us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the way in which you so carefully demonstrated the fact that He is the same God who shepherded those sheep through the wilderness in the history of a nation of people wandering for a whole generation and yet being shepherded, led, provided for. God, we need that kind of shepherding, identification, leading. Today, we would follow you into being shepherds for others as you have been for us. Under shepherds, but nevertheless shepherds. God, would you please help us to know others as you have known us, to love others as you have loved us, to seek for others as you have sought for us. Would you please call others to yourself through us, as you called us to yourself through others? God, we would follow you into the shepherding, and we would be good shepherds who give their lives for the sheep. Now, God, hear the prayer of any person, man or woman, who is from within the silence of his or her own heart, praying a prayer such as this: God, I'm not sure that I am one of your sheep, that I'm hearing your voice and following you, but I want to be sure of that. God, forgive me for not being as you are, your kind of knowledge, your kind of love. God, as best I know how, I hereby trust in what your Son, Jesus Christ, did on that cross, in giving his life in order to make things right between yourself and myself. I hereby trust in what you have done for me on the cross to make things right between us. Come into my life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my Good Shepherd. Now I thank you for hearing this prayer, for coming into my life. God, we know we cannot love you in the way the Father loved you, with the same degree of love, cannot know you with the same degree of knowledge. But God, grant that it be the same kind of love. Thank you for telling us it will be, and the same kind of knowledge. And we commit ourselves to you now, to use this day of dedication the same way you used it. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, we'll sing again from this 23rd Psalm in order that these words might come home to us. Be using now Psalm 23a. 23a. Let's rise to sing. Remain standing for the benediction. Immediately after the benediction, we'll be singing together from the stanza that is at the bottom of the bulletin page. Of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.
And blessed be his glorious name.